Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. This is your talk show host, Randy Fine, and today is Free Advice Friday, the day that I take your calls and answer your questions. So I hope that you have some. I hope that you want to call in. If you do, the number is 424-220-1801. I know many of you have questions or just things you want to share. I would love to hear from you. It really helps make the show better. Again, the number is 424-220-1801. And I also want to tell you that I'm celebrating the one-year anniversary of Close Encounters of the First Kind, of the Worst Kind. Listen to me, I don't even know the name of my own book. Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, The Narcissistic Abuse Survivor's Guide to Healing and Recovery. It has been a very successful year, and I thank all of you for supporting the book. But, you know, the book is not there for me to make money on. The book is there to help you. So I just encourage you, if you haven't read this book, read the reviews and pick up a copy. It's really going to open your eyes to many things and answer many of the questions that you have. So I do have a letter from someone that wrote in to me that wants me to discuss this on air. So I'm going to read it to you now. Randy, as you predicted, in refusing to back down from the do not argue, gray rock, boundary tactic, the narcissistic bully chose a nicer approach to getting attention. Thanks to your support and validation, I had the courage to go no contact that same day. I was, however, hoovered into an argument a few weeks later, but this solidified my decision to remove this person from my life and maintain no contact for good. His antics were so egregious and psychotic, that he contradicted and incriminated himself with his own words. Imagine the absolute worst traits of dissociative identity disorder, borderline personality disorder, malignant narcissism, and sociopathy, and you have this narc pictured. Given the behavior of this person, I opted to not get a restraining order, fearing to make matters worse. After he asserted, he would fight any lies made about him in court, but has continued to leave messages with a typical controlling manipulations of, I'm sorry, I love you, I miss you, please talk to me. My mom has cancer, and I'm going to domestic violence, counseling and drug treatment, etc., etc. All this after horrendous name-calling, multiple shifts in personality, violent tantrums, pathological lies, illogical and irrational fears, accusations, and racist hate speech. I threatened to get a no-contact order, after which he said he would not contact me again and for me to do the same. Several messages later, he's still saying, haven't heard from you in a while, miss you, and so on. A complete disconnect from reality. He admitted to being diagnosed with NPD and borderline personality disorder, then later denied it, even after being banned from several businesses for outbursts of hate speech and aggression. Due to episodes of absolute disregard and disrespect, sadistic provoking and hostility towards others, he was asked to leave his job, has gotten kicked out of his home, and is claiming to be moving out of state the end of next month. In the past, he was always paranoid about me cheating and making accusations of me being with someone else. I later realized that he was projecting his own thoughts and behaviors onto me and was proven to be the one cheating during our relationship, using different Tinder accounts, multiple Snapchat personas, and social media aliases. Additionally, there was mention of him raping his sister several times, killing pets, and acting out rape and choking fantasies with former partners. All this minimized, excused, and deflected with a, so what, I can get whoever I want and do whatever I want attitude, with arrogant impunity. He also casually joked on several occasions that he was a serial killer, then accused the owner of the home he is now being evicted from, a very nice older man, of being a serial killer. Like his other telling projections, during his psychotic rants, he'd sing gangster rap in realistic persona, then would go on and on with sexist and misogynist speech, hating black people and homosexuals, hailing Satan, exalting the KKK, exclaiming white power, and saying how he wanted a Christian conservation woman and a young blonde woman to have his way with. I just read Wikipedia's account of Jeffrey Dahmer, by the way, and his abusive and degrading sexual addiction, matter-of-fact behavior, and diagnosis, and it was all eerily similar. If you knew of the insanity I witnessed and endured throughout the course of our relationship, you would have chills in hearing this. I don't want someone to be harmed or worse by me failing to expose him. My question is, should I go forward with a no-contact order, even though he seems to be leaving, and also go to the authorities with my unspeakable suspicions? Or should I just quietly stay no contact on my own and hope he permanently moves on and gets the help he needs elsewhere? I appreciate you taking the time to answer, and thank you for your work. Wow, this guy is messed up. He clearly sounds psychopathic or sociopathic, and God knows what else. This is a very, very dangerous individual, and I feel sorry for anyone who crosses paths with this guy, because I have no doubt that what he's saying rings of truth. He may not have done what he said he's done, but he's obviously thinking about it. And narcissists don't normally think about those kind of things, unless they're malignant narcissists. Malignant narcissists are the ones who actually do the killing. And what separates them from sociopaths and psychopaths is that malignant narcissists do it because they want the attention and the adoration and admiration and fame. Psychopaths and sociopaths usually don't. So as I'm saying this, I'm wondering if perhaps he is a malignant narcissist. It's it's really hard to determine it because there is a fine line here. But if he is someone who was saying and doing these things for attention, then it's more malignant narcissist. He's more of a malignant narcissist than a psychopath or sociopath. So that's sort of where you draw the line. However, when you anyone that's a cluster B personality disorder, like NPD, will have traits of borderline histrionic and antisocial, which includes sociopathy and psychopathy. So it's hard to say exactly what this person is, but he's clearly dangerous, and anybody that crosses paths with him is in major danger. The question of should you go forth with a no-contact order? Absolutely do it. Narcissists will disappear for a while. The reason that they'll do that is to make you believe that they're not coming back. And it is clearly a manipulation tactic. When they've tried everything else, when they've hoovered and it doesn't work and they've tried everything else, they will just disappear. But they don't disappear forever. And the reason they don't disappear forever is because you are a possession of theirs. They own you. They've objectified you, and they see you as property. So you are always going to be property. And a large part of the anger is the fact that you left or you didn't obey them or whatever it is. And as property, they cannot understand that. They own you. They own you forever. So though it may incite anger in him, I would certainly do it. And then be very careful. Because if it's inciting anger in him, then he's not truly gone. He hasn't forgotten about you, and he still has anger brewing inside of him. And you can't take that risk of him contacting you or hurting you. At this point, the rage from what he considers deceit and rejection on your part is, it's 10 times worse than it ever was. So if you think it was bad before, now it's really bad because you are the enemy. You have hurt him by stealing his property. And he will somehow return because he doesn't, no matter how much you were able to resist the temptations of his hoovering. And by the way, it's so interesting, the way he hoovered, because my gosh, I have a list of hoovering tactics in my book, and boy, he hits so many of them. You know, I love you, I miss you, please talk to me. My mom has cancer, I'm getting counseling and treatment and all these kind of things. He just hit all of them. And it's what I warned so many of you about, not to fall prey to these kind of things, because they know how to push your buttons and they know what to say to you to get you to come back. But I'm really proud of this this person who wrote this letter because you had sense enough to know not to go back. And chances are you may have ended up maimed or worse than that at some point. Now, as far as going to the authorities with your suspicions, if you have any evidence, I would definitely do it. If you don't, it's hearsay. And unfortunately, there's nothing you can do about it. He will deny it, and even worse, it will make you look like a perpetrator instead of a victim. He will tell the authorities that you are projecting. He will tell the authorities to watch out for you because you are that person. So there's no way to pin him down on this at all unless you have evidence, unless you have police reports, unless you have recordings or texts, emails, anything like that. If you do, I think that it is your responsibility to report it. I wouldn't expect too much to come of it, because he will weasel his way out of, you know, if he's picked up, he will weasel his way out of any responsibility for these things. So this is a hard call, and unfortunately we don't want, when we know somebody is like this, we don't want to know that they're walking around hurting other people. But I guess, you know, leave that up to me to educate people to be able to recognize this, me and other people who are doing this work, so that there's enough information out there so that people can reach out when they are under the constraints and manipulations and lies of a narcissist, and especially a malignant one, because as I said, they are very, very dangerous. O.J. Simpson, though he seems like a psychopath or sociopath, he is a malignant narcissist. He's actually a great example, because everything he does for attention. But you know, and I know, that he's a murderer. So that's just a good example of who they are and how charming they can be, how manipulative they can be, and how they don't forget. They never forget. So that is the letter that I have from the caller. Again, this is a call-in show. The number to call in is 424-220-1801. 424-220-1801. I hope that you will call in and ask your questions, or at least email me ahead of time so we can make this show more interesting. So the thing I'm going to talk to you about today, until or unless somebody calls in, is intuition, that feeling that you have in your heart, in your gut, in your solar plexus, of what is right and what is wrong. And I get this question a lot from people, especially in regard to their children. How do I teach my children, you know, if they're in parental alienation situations, that kind of thing, and we're trying to keep them from being completely taken over, having their mind completely taken over by the other narcissistic parent or the narcissistic parent. So intuition is this gift we all have that is the absolute truth teller. It never lies. We can count on it no matter what. And if we've been raised in families where we're taught that our instincts are not right, we've been gaslighted, and even in relationships in our adult life, where it's been reinforced over and over, that how we feel is not right. That what we saw, we didn't see. What we heard, we didn't hear. That what happened, never happened. Every single time these things happened, we had a gut reaction or a pain in our heart. And then we went right from there, we dismissed it, and went right into our head and started thinking about it and started trying to rationalize what was being said to us. That is where we go wrong every time. And that is where narcissists get us. When they teach us not to trust how we feel, then they have us. We are their property. We are their possession. We are their hostage. But I'm telling you, your instinct never lies. So if they say something sort of offhanded, you know, or backhanded, something like that, and it's not something you can call them on, because generally the way things are worded, you cannot call them on it. but it feels wrong. Don't distrust how you feel. You are right for you. You know, and this is a thing that so many of us question whether our instincts are right or wrong, because we look at other people, especially our captive, our captor, our abuser. We look at them and we hold ourselves to their example as what is right and wrong, when in fact this is so illusory. What they represent is not real at all, but we are convinced that it is. But so instead of listening to how we feel, we try to rationalize. We listen to the narcissist because we want to believe what they have to say. So we listen and we find some way to rationalize this, even though inside we're dying. So what I teach clients who are having this problem, and actually most of them are, is I teach them to first examine their physical reactions to things. How do you feel in certain situations? Is your energy being sucked out of you? Is your stomach going into knots? Are you getting a headache? What exactly is happening when you're with certain people? And then notice how other people energize you, if you have anyone in your life like that. But those people who make you feel that is your body saying to you, warning, 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 red flag, this is not right for you. And when I say not right for you, what I mean is that we each have a whole set of qualities, gifts, feelings, likes, dislikes, that are very individual to us. What is right for us may not be right for someone else. So when everyone else is telling you, oh, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, well, okay, maybe they'd be fine in this situation. We don't think so. But for us, it's not right. And that's okay. And that's where this whole self-love thing comes in, because in Chapter 31 of Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, I give you all the seven components of self-love. And when you achieve all seven and every category underneath of it, or every entry underneath of it, it won't matter to you what anybody says about you, how you're judged. Because you're going to know who you are, and it won't matter. You know, and I speak from great experience, extensive experience when I say this, because I'm not immune to attacks from people very close to me. I'm not immune to it. And yes, while it may throw me for, you know, a minute or so and kind of throw me off balance or off kilter, I then go, they're accusing me of things that I am not, and I'm not going to defend that, because that's just being done to hurt me, to knock me down, to weaken me, to make me distrust who I am and what I'm feeling and not like myself and all those kind of things. So it's so important to get all the components of self-love within you. And that's when self-validation comes, because nobody can tell you you're anybody but who you know you are. So if there's one thing for you to focus on until you hear from me or call me or whatever, until you hear from me, focus on Chapter 31 of Close Encounters of the Worst Kind and work that page, or those pages, I mean. Work that until you achieve all aspects of self-love. And what happens with it is you gain momentum. Each time you accomplish something, you gain momentum, and it's easier and easier to achieve the other qualities that you need to fill yourself up with. If you've been a child of narcissistic abuse, you've never been taught that you're okay. You've never been taught self-love, self-appreciation, self-value, self-validation. And what you've been taught is that it's selfish to take care of yourself. But look around you. Everybody takes care of themselves. The only people that don't are those of us who've been falsely taught that we're not supposed to. That is a lie. It's the biggest lie ever. And it is what allows narcissists to sink their claws in us and take us hostage. And if you're a child that's always been told that, well, then you cannot possibly know better. But, you know, what's interesting is that we all achieve some level of self-love as we go through life. I have a caller. This is great. I'm going to take this call. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing real good.
Good. Thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. It really helps the show. So what would you like to share or ask?
Well, I've been listening to the show, and I've been nodding my head the whole time. And, you know, I really agree with self-love. And, you know, one thing that I found that helped me, not only learning that aspect of it, but living in the now, you know, not living in the past or not living in the future, but living today, you know, because I found out that when I lived in the past, I lived like in depression. And when I lived like in the future, I lived in anxiety. But when I learned to kind of live for today, it helped me a lot, you know. So, but when I found self-love, you know what I mean? Because I was beating myself up with everything from the past that happened. And so when I kind of learned to love myself, because, you know, everything that was said to me from the past, you know what I mean? It was like a tool. You know, you just kept beating yourself up with it. And so when I learned to, like, look in the mirror and not beat myself up with it, it was kind of like, I am somebody. You know, I'm not that person that, you know what I mean? Because you would hear those voices. You would hear those degrading things that were always said to you. And so when you can get over that, is when you'll find some sort of healing. And I think everybody's different in ways, but I hope that helps somebody.
Yeah, that's excellent. Thank you for sharing that. That's awesome. You know, and we beat ourselves up in ways we don't even realize. So, yes, some of the more obvious ways are to beat ourselves up for things we've done or things we said or behaviors we had. But we also beat ourselves up with impatience in our healing, with thinking we're not measuring up to other people. These are all ways we beat ourselves up. And every time we do this, this is not self-loving. And we have to be very conscious, because what's in our head is programming. And if we go to our thoughts and we listen to what other people say, it's very confusing. Right?
Yes.
We have to always... You find that you always have to go within and sort of calibrate everything by how you feel?
Well, yeah, yes, you know, and then when I finally said no, you know what I mean? Like, cause I was always programmed as a young boy to do things because your father always said so. And, you know, not disrespectfully, but your parents are not always right, you know, and you know what I mean? And so when I found that, you know, to break free from that controlling, then I found out, like, hey, you know, there's your own way of things. And then, you know, my way isn't always right either, but you know what I mean? So when you can break free from that and you can find your own identity, you know what I mean? I hope that makes sense to you.
Makes total sense. No, it is about finding your identity, right. And yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, loving yourself is knowing who you are, what you're about, what you like, what you don't like, you know, what's fun, the way that you think, the way that you react. It's knowing yourself, and that is, you're right, a good word for that is identity. I like that. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, thank you for taking my call. I just love the show, and I was kind of listening the whole time, and I'm like, you know, that's right, you know. And so, I came from a real dysfunctional home, and it took me years because, you know, I was having, you know, flashbacks and nightmares and just a lot of things, and I finally got to the point where I couldn't take it anymore. And I finally, you know, one night, I just said to myself, you know, this has got to stop. But I just didn't know how. I didn't have the tools, you know, to understand these things. And so, you know, I just learned that, you know, like I had to take one thing at a time and understand, you know, like even memories, you know, the memories are there for a reason. And so for me, I had to go back and save the young boy that saved me to heal. You know, and it's a journey, you know, and I think that everybody, you know, hopefully that, you know, healing begins with everybody. And what I found myself is when I began to talk with people and not hold it in, you know, and you know, let it fester and, you know, be angry all the time.
It's true. And, you know, and before you do the healing, when you talk to people, it's very difficult because what they say cuts like a knife often. When we don't really know what's right and what's wrong, and we need validation so desperately, and then somebody says something, you know, it just innocently to us, and it just cuts like a knife. So in the beginning, it's hard to talk to people, you know. But once you know who you are, then nothing, right? Nothing can touch it because you know who you are. No one can tell you different. Is that how you feel?
Yes. What to me it was more like, you know, I was learning to crawl, and then I would kind of walk a little bit, and then just as I was getting to kind of run a little bit, somebody would say something like, "Oh, it wasn't that bad." You know what I mean? And then you'd fall down again. You know what I mean? So you'd kind of crawl and walk. And then somebody would say something again, and you were like, "Ah!" Oh, and I just didn't have that confidence. But once you build that confidence, you're like, "No, it was that bad." You know what I mean? And those welts and those beatings and you know those names, they really do hurt. And you know, yes, it did hurt. No, you don't understand. But you know, if I didn't want to preach to anybody, but yet you know, it hurt. And so I didn't want to make somebody feel my hurt, but I just wanted to get it off my chest. And so to me, the biggest thing for me was finding somebody that really understood. To me, it was finding somebody that went through similar situations. And then once I finally connected with somebody that really went through real abuse, and not, you know, just because your dad didn't buy you a G.I. Joe or whatever it was, but with somebody who really understood that, you were kind of like, "Oh my gosh, you really understood that." And you know what I mean? Then it was kind of like those weights were just lifted. And then, you know, you kind of built that rapport with somebody and you were kind of like, "Oh my God," you felt more relaxed and open to speak about other things. And then the sexual abuse came out and different things like that. So once you really opened up and got talking about things, then, you know, they would to you and you would go, "Oh my gosh, thank you." You know, and so you would just keep going back and forth. And then before you knew it, it was kind of like a little ball. And as you pushed it, it began to roll faster and faster. And then you're like, before you know it, you're running. You know? So.
Yeah, isn't it amazing? And, you know, when I talk about the way we beat ourselves up when we're impatient, when you're in the beginning, you just said all this, and I'm just reinforcing this. In the beginning stages of healing, you are moving at millimeters. You are moving at a snail's pace. But it gains momentum. With each success that you have, each victory you have, the momentum gets going. This thing about where you made progress and then you keep falling backwards, this is why it is so important to get help. Because somebody needs to validate you and validate you and validate you until you can begin to self-validate. Because if you don't, you will continue to fall backwards. And it's why I recommend in the beginning that everyone gets help at least once a week, because in the course of a week, like, you might feel really good after a session with somebody. In the course of that week, cognitive dissonance and programming is going to take your mind back to where it was. That's one thing. The other thing is that healing must take place in a vacuum, in a bubble. Every time we go out, there's a trigger, and we have to avoid them. That's the only way to heal, is to avoid being triggered while you're in this crucial healing stage.
Yeah.
Once you're okay, the triggers aren't going to matter, and if they do, you'll know what to do with them. But in the beginning, you've got to avoid everything, and that's a hard thing to do. But this is excellent. I'm so glad that you called in. I thank you for participating. What you had to say is very, very important for everybody to hear, and it's validating. So just keep on listening.
I will. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. So, you know, our caller did validate and verify what I was saying. And this self-love concept is very, very difficult for us to grasp. It is not selfish to take care of yourself. It is what everyone does. It's what everyone's supposed to do. Do you think that this gift of life has been given to you so you can be a doormat or a whipping post? No. That is not what the gift of life is about. The gift of life is about learning and growing. And, you know, in our past, the caller was saying something about, you know, not living in the past. Our past is there to teach us. We're not supposed to live in it. We're supposed to learn from it. That's what our past is about. And when you're beginning the stages of healing from narcissistic abuse, it's very important to recall what happened to you, because much of it has been suppressed. And as you recall it with someone safe, and I must emphasize this, do not do this with anyone who you do not feel 100% safe with. And it should be someone who has experienced narcissistic personality disorder abuse and has worked through it, so they can be a healthy sounding board for you. But in the beginning, these memories must come up. They've been dormant. They're festering. They have got to come up. But once they come up and they're looked at in a safe environment, you can then begin to let them go and then work on the overall feeling that of the abuse that you've suffered in general and where it came from and why you feel the way you do. So I don't want you to diminish the experiences that you've had, because they're extremely important to your healing. And it's not about playing victim. You were a victim. And you must be able to recall what happened to you in order to understand just how severely you were victimized. Once done, once explained, once understood, then we learn from it. Then we move on. So I just wanted to clarify that. I didn't want anybody to get confused about, recall from the past, because it is extremely important to get it out. Nobody has listened to you properly. If you haven't had the right kind of therapy or counseling for this, then you have not been heard. And you need to be heard. And you need to be validated. And as the caller was saying, the feeling, it feels like 100 pounds comes off your shoulder when that happens. But you can't heal until somebody explains to you that what you've experienced is horrendous. It's not just a little bit bad. And going back to the intuition and the feelings, if something makes you feel bad, then it's bad for you. I don't care what anybody tries to tell you. If somebody says something and you feel bad because of it, that is valid. And you have a right to feel that way. Nobody has a right to talk you out of it. somebody may explain something, and if this happens one time with somebody, okay, maybe they phrased something the wrong way or they made a mistake one time. But when someone does this to you over and over and over and over again and tells you how your feeling is wrong, no, they're wrong. You're right. So my goal is to help all of you to stop suffering and to regain your life. This is the life you were born into. This is the life that you deserve. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to feel empowered. And you deserve to like every aspect of who you are. Because you come into this world by yourself and you leave by yourself. In the end, we are all we have. So if we're suffering on the behalf of someone else, what sense does that make? The other person isn't suffering. We are. We have to live in our skin. We have to live with the pain we're in. And when we know ourselves, like ourselves, love ourselves, understand ourselves, validate ourselves, we are no longer in pain. That is the key. That's what gets us out of it. Forming the identity, understanding what we are about, our place in this world. We must know our place in this world. And with that, I'm going to leave you, but I do want to say, let's see, the next show. Okay, get to my calendar. Okay, the next show is going to be on December 14th, again, 11 a.m. Eastern Time. The number to call in will be 424-220-1801. Now, if you'd like to write me a letter ahead of time and have it read on air like I read the other letter, then just send it to loveyourlife@randygfine.com. Randy is always spelled with an I, R-A-N-D-I, gfine.com. Send me your letters. I'll read them, and you'll get your answers. So I don't want you to be out there feeling lost. You don't have to be. You really don't have to be. I'm here with my shows. I'm here with my website and all the articles I put on there for you. And I'm here to counsel you and to get you through this in the quickest, least costly possible way. That is my goal. So with that said, I hope that you have a wonderful day, a wonderful month until you hear from me again. And may joy and serenity always be yours. It's a gift. You deserve it. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.